San Martin Board of Selectmen meeting, 3/17/2020, 2 p.m.
Okay, for folks on the line, we're back in the town office, and we'll reconvene the meeting here in a second. All we'd ask is if they are online, if you have the ability, please put your phone on mute so that we don't hear all the background noise. If you have a question or a comment, just speak up. The chairman will recognize you and give you an opportunity to speak. Otherwise, all the same rules for a regular public meeting will be in place.
Okay, my name is John Olmsted. I'm chairman of the Board of Selectmen. I will reconvene the emergency meeting, the BOS emergency meeting, for the for discussions about the town preparedness and readiness to meet the coronavirus and the take care of the townspeople. So we are back open, and
it's just dial. It's just some things to go over when we get to them.
Okay, we're going to start off first off with limited interactions. What services can we suspend, and the impacts such as dog license registration, burn permits,
Paul, I heard you on the line. You've already got a plan in place for the burn permits, correct?
Paul, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't hear a word you're saying. You're going in and out.
Okay. I'm trying to speak up so that it's can go in.
Oh. You know why? Because I'm still on, my Wi-Fi is still connected to the fire department guest instead of switching back over to here. Hold on.
Marsha was going to try and call in, but she may come over.
Johnny Mantasso.
Okay.
Hello?
Yep. Hold on,
Johnny. We're here.
Hey, hold on.
You know, going through the technical fun of... Oh, come on.
Okay,
it's Greenbug 74, right?
07.
07.
07. 07.
Yeah. Got it. Thank you. Oh. All right. Is that working better?
A little bit.
Okay, first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to go over a few of the things that we do already know. That have taken place. I know, Paul, you have set some motions in play with the fire department, and I know Chief Hankert has set a few protocols in play for dealing with the public. I know that the San Martin Library has closed completely for until April 3rd to follow suit with the school system, and things will be reevaluated at that point to see if they need to stay closed further. And I know that the rec department has canceled after school activities and things like sporting activities, pickleball, things like this. And with the school closings, I think also that the after school program is closed, just to try and keep down as much as possible the interaction between between humans to see if we can get this virus kicked out down the road. We do have some questions and some plans that we would like to discuss. And, you know, anybody who's online, please, if you want to ask a question or chime in or anything like that, just please let me know and I will recognize you and you can have the floor. We have a list here of responses, and I have a few things that I'd like to talk about that I had written up this morning. So we'll start off with a list here, and the limit to interactions, what services can we suspend, the impacts like dog license, registrations, burn permits. That's probably going to come from you, Julie. Is there any of this stuff that we can?
All right. So we can print everybody's registrations and mail them to them. We can print all dog licenses and mail them out. People can then mail them back in. We can get that done by tomorrow. We can get all of the rest of April out. No, what, March, we're March. We can get March out, we can get April out. We can't do May until I get them. I don't know if we can suspend dog licenses because it is a state law, but we can look into that. I did contact Avatar, and if we were to even think about going online, it's a month turnaround. Okay. We didn't even get into money. He says you need at least a month to even think about it, and they're all working remotely. So there's nobody in the office to train. They're all working from their homes.
So I think it would be best then to do what we had talked about. Send out the notices for April and when you can, May,
yep,
for the registrations. Mm-hmm. And then if anybody has, they can mail them back in. And
so right now, it looks like we've got 162 to mail, yep, for April. And I don't know how many for May yet. And we can include the dog licenses in with those people. We'll sort them, different color paper, people can come in. They can either mail them in, or they can do them through the drop box on the side of the building, and then we'll mail them back out. There will be a cost to this. You know, it's 50 cents to mail, and then we're gonna have to mail back their registrations, so it could be up to 50, 65, or 80 cents per person. I can track what that cost is gonna be to help people out.
If people would like their dog registrations mailed to you, can they maybe send you an email or a phone call?
They can. We can put that a notice out. They can email me. We can do all. I'll work with anybody. We've been doing it today. There's a drop box on the side of the building. The other thing that's happening too is vital records. I'm getting a lot of notifications. Like a lot of people, if they need a marriage license, a lot of towns are closed. They're not going to let them do them. They can come here, but they're going to need an appointment. And I think what my office needs is some gloves.
Sure.
To open mail and stuff like that and process. And if there's any departments that have some time who aren't busy, would like to help with all those mailings and get things started, I will take the help.
Hey, for folks on the line, if you're not on mute, can you please try, because we're hearing a lot of car sounds and talking. The chief anchor says, wear your seatbelt.
So there is a survey from the town clerks that this was interesting. It says, of the ones who surveyed, 56% said they will do whatever, will do the same as DMV's decision is, which we don't have yet. And the other said they will stay, 43% they're going to stay open, and that's it. So I can share this with you.
Would it be possible to, if you had to work with a reduced staff of just you, or?
We'll make it work. I mean,
if need be.
If need be, but yeah, it will work. So Sorry. It's very distracting. So anyways, here's this.
So what? I guess, what's your preference?
For right now, I think we stay staff. Me and Gloria, my assistant and I, we'll get those mailings done. If it's completely dead, I don't know what the town's thinking of doing on, do we want to send somebody home because there's two of us in a close office? Then the question will come up, is that person going to be paid? Is that person going to unemployment? There's a lot, there's a whole bunch of questions that back all that up.
Yeah. So that is a global topic that we're going to have to address, is how we handle employees, whether they're...
Yeah, that's another
short
question.
Short answer, if I have to do it, yes, I can do it by myself.
Okay. I know Chief Dexter's got a process set up for burn permits where you don't have to come in and get them. So...
Are they obtained online? Can they be...
He's got to just, you email them or call, they'll get the permit done and send it to the person. So,
oh, okay.
But they're not doing any inspections, they're not doing any site visits, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Welfare checks have been, the actual going out and seeing the person has been curtailed as much as possible, unless it's an emergency. And the fire department will be going with the police to clear the scene. This all came out of yesterday's meeting, I think, Jim. Online payment module for the town clerk tax collector.
So that was the minimum of a month to get it up.
So that's not going to help us right away.
I think we can get around that.
Yeah, okay. Okay, one from somebody closed their door.
Yeah. Please, if you're car, thank you.
One from Nate, we're going to eliminate selling of trash bags to anyone. Only you can only pick up trash bags at the transfer station from now on.
So you don't want me selling tags from the window?
Nope.
Okay.
So we can work with Nate and we'll get it set up so he's got, folks with gloves. We can look at window only transactions, but just keep that in one place instead of having three different people potentially handling money and all that.
Okay, and I guess we're going to look into the module to enable assessing to work from the...
I spoke with our IT person today, and the is fairly cost prohibitive. However, if I know how many people we're going to allow to be working remotely, he can work with those people to do a VPN into from their own computers. It will be set up with a very, very strict password guideline, because it does make us... it opens us up for people to attack us. Yeah,
we're vulnerable.
And he said the influx of everybody using the go-to meetings and all of these things is just like prime hacking material.
Yeah.
So, depending upon how many staff people that we have that are going to be working remotely like that, there is a cost after a certain number of people. The cost goes up, but. So we need to sort of figure out who from each department that might affect working remotely from home.
Okay. Yep. So what we need to understand, though, is what does that mean?
So he said to me it would be a it would be a secure password, and they would need to have like a home email address.
But not every, so there's different levels of VPN, mm-hmm. right? So you can have, for example, where you can dial in, you can connect to the network, but that doesn't necessarily mean you can run an application, for example, Peggy's finance application that is on her computer. Just because she can get into the network from home doesn't necessarily mean she'd be able to use
get
her
to
application.
Her computer.
Right, well, so he said that in part of that process, with the email that he would send to the person, they would also need to have their login information and their computer name, like, and number, so that they could log in specifically to their computer and be able to have that access. And then again, and he said it's very easy to do, and he could even help people walk them through it on the phone or whatever. But he just needs to know who, you know, first we need to know who. I think that he likes that as an alternative to the software that we were just looking at.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to
so,
control.
Paul, would any of your folks need to?
No.
Johnny?
No.
Nate? We know it would be nice to be able to do. But can you? What can't you do? I mean, you have to print things.
I couldn't do payroll.
If you could be on your computer at home and it was just like you had access and could do everything you could do on your computer at work.
She wouldn't be able to print the checks.
I wouldn't be able to print the checks, number one, because we still have a handful of people that are not on direct deposit. And I'd also have to have everybody's timesheet.
Well, but in Peggy's situation, technically, she only needs to be here for a finite amount of time.
Correct.
Yeah.
To complete that, and then she could leave. Yeah. So that does help with the limited exposure to the office environment.
We would have to set up a hard limit as to when timesheets would be in and anything that AP would need to be in so that she could make sure she has it all by a certain time and get it done and then get out of here.
Yeah.
Can't we scan timesheets and send them to her?
You can, but eventually I'm going to need the originals.
Yeah. Oh, I understand that, but I was just, you know, thinking.
I would hate to take a big, giant step back with the Department of Labor as now we've gotten everybody sort of regimented on giving us those timesheets.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Johnny, I think you had your hand up first.
Well, she actually hit it. I just bought a new scanner since we went to stamping our documents.
Yep.
So rather than record it on my computer, I just scan them in the computer, and it comes through front and back. And it sets it up in an email form that I could email it. I could do that along with the timesheets, everything all at once if I want. Put it in a file. I could email it to Peggy, and she would be able to pull up the highway department's stuff. I could keep the original because I don't want a bunch of paperwork all over the office, and drop it where she can pick it up later when she wants it, and she wouldn't have to be there for it.
Or you might even be able to drop it off here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I drop it off
at
here
one time
where she wants it at one time, and she can pick it up when she wants it to file. But she'd still be able to do all of her figures from the payroll and the bills at once. From any remote location.
Okay, Julie?
Well, if nobody wants to come in, like I said, the side door is open, and I understand Trish, you want a signed timesheet. So if they dropped him in the side door, Trish has a key to get in that side, and she could retrieve everything, and Peggy can too. We can give her access to that side. She could take everything out of the bucket. That way nobody's coming in the building. It's just going through.
Yeah, it's still going to have the problem of printing checks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think the best would be to come in here, say on a Monday, for a certain lot of time, do the payroll and whatever bills I have that need to be done.
Yeah. But it would be just that one time you wouldn't have to, then you could work from home for the rest of whatever you've got to do.
So with that, to do anything at home, you need access to information and things on your computer. So
yes.
We would still want to get her set up with
VPN
access, but recognize that, you know, for a day a week, she's going to have to come in and finalize and print checks and file or whatever.
Because the checks and direct deposit, because I have to send the file to the bank, and then the checks and manifest need to be signed by the selectman, and then all the payroll needs to be distributed.
Yeah, and we're
going to
have
payables mailed.
We're going to have to set up a, a certain time when the selectmen come in to sign. Mm-hmm. So that,
Hold on. I'm home.
Go ahead.
I can come in when the checks are ready to sign them too. I'm trying to limit my interaction with everybody.
Sure.
But I can come in like I did today to sign checks.
At a designated time.
Yeah, so we just have to.
Pardon me?
We'll have to get a good schedule. You know, and it goes back to what Trish was saying. Everybody gets all of their bills, all of their timesheets in electronically to Peggy at a certain time. She can come in and do payroll, print checks, and then Karen can come in and sign, and then the selectmen can come in and sign the ones that require us.
Karen, the computer that you have now, is that adequate for what you need to do, or would we need to give you the VPN access?
No, that's adequate. I just take it home and do the spreadsheet stuff.
Okay.
So I don't need to get into any network type of thing.
Okay.
And I'll just bring it back tomorrow and print out what I have to print out. So, you know, there was a transfer, two transfers, special revenue fund transfers that I have to print out.
Amanda?
How about
you? Okay, so.
Access at home. You don't need access at home.
Was that Karen, I think?
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I knew who I would. Okay.
Yeah, that was Trish that you were hearing also. So.
Okay, maybe that's the voice I was.
Yeah, I think we've covered the establish the protocols and implement maximum work. Telework.
We haven't covered my department, John.
Okay.
The welfare department. How are we going to pay bills and use the credit card?
How have you been doing it currently?
We're not allowed to have the credit card number at home.
Right.
So what I do is I have to call the fuel companies and ask them to call Peggy and collect the payment information. But if Peggy isn't there, they can't do that.
Well, so Peg, do you have a cell phone for work? You just have, okay.
But I can call from home. They can call me.
Yeah, so Mel, what Peg is saying, yeah, we can do that same process. They would just have to call her on her home number, and she could provide them with the payment information. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she'll be sitting in a different location, and they won't know the difference.
Our IT person seems to think that we have the ability to forward phone calls, so I have to look into that. I'm not sure how that works. We do. The phones do that here.
You can set your individual line up to forward it to a cell phone or a landline or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. So we can.
So are we addressing the credit card use for any other departments? How does that change?
Everybody else has been coming in, so I'm not sure that's a good thought as to how we want to handle that.
Well, with not much going on.
Right. There shouldn't be much need for it.
I think the main departments, like the rec department, probably uses it for supplies and stuff, but you're not going to be doing much. I think we can limit our needs for that to not create that problem. And if something does come up as an emergency, you know, there's still going to be somebody coming in here at some point during the week that we could coordinate that to obtain the card.
Yeah. I think what Melanie.
Well, in my department, my guess is that it's going to dramatically increase, not the other way around. So,
I think in the welfare department. In the welfare department, I think what she's getting at is that she's probably got to get that information to suppliers a lot more than anybody else does. having to do with the welfare department and well, still keep and still maintain confidentiality.
To do it from home, that's fine with me.
So
that would be okay with me if Peggy and Trish want to decide how, what phone number or whatever email, how whatever procedure Peggy's comfortable with, then I can keep the same bridge of information that I have now. Just if Peggy, if it becomes too busy and Peggy needs assistance, we might have to relook at it, but for right now, that's fine.
So, yeah, we'll definitely take advantage of the fact that we can have the phones forwarded. So the suppliers will still call the same number. It'll forward to Peg, and she'll be able to answer it and give them the information. And I think all of this is, you know, every couple of days we're going to be relooking at how things are going and what needs to change. So these are, you know, baby steps until we kind of get a rhythm going and we figure out what works and what doesn't.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think we're going to get it right the first time. We're going to have to be changing things as we learn. So.
Right. And Peggy, you of course know how to contact me. So, whatever your comfort level is, and if it changes, you know, please reach out to me. And between Trish, yourself, and myself, we can come up with whatever works best for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Peggy's shaking her head. Yes.
Okay.
You can see that, of course, right?
That's the next step, is video teleconference.
I just didn't want to inadvertently, you know, shift too much to her plate. So, and again, we don't know what's going to happen, so we can play that by ear.
Okay. What else, Mel, specific to your department, do we need to address?
We had discussed briefly yesterday, so I just want the department heads who may not been involved. I did speak to the head of the foods department for Winnisquam School District yesterday. They are not up and running yet because they are waiting for approval from the state. You have to get a specific permit approved to serve food outside of the cafeteria. So that's what they're waiting on. However, they're armed, ready to enact their plan, which looks like this. The meals that they are making are for children already on free and reduced lunch. Any children who were regular students who have a food need would be required to pay for their lunches. They will not be delivering them. That was not accurate information. They'll be sitting up a station at the school where people will have to drive to the school and get their food on a daily or every other day basis. He said that's going to hold out as long as the food supplies are coming from his distributor. The distributor, of course, saying that is not going to be a problem, but he personally believes that is going to be a problem because districts are over-ordering out of fear. So right now, children have to have access to transportation in order to get the food, and it is children who were already qualified for free lunch. So what I set up with the school, which can be done via check, is that if children reveal themselves throughout the process of needing assistance, even if it's temporarily, he will feed them and compile a bill for the town of Samberton for Samberton students only. And then I've authorized that we will cover those lunches with no questions asked if students reveal the need to be fed. I thought that at $1.76 a meal, you really can't there's no other
right.
Process that is even remotely that affordable. So that's where we stand with that temporarily. And also, if distribution becomes an issue, he's going to reach back out, and as a town, each of us will have to determine how we're going to get the food out to children.
Okay, wow, that sounds great.
For right now...
But they did enact that, Mel, because they put out an announcement about an hour ago about that. So they are doing that.
They're taking wonderful steps to wear all protective gear, and, you know, they're really doing it right, and I was very impressed. And I really don't have an issue picking up any of the gaps while people are struggling with unemployment, as long as we're keeping the children fed. And they'll be doing breakfast and lunch. So that's it.
Okay, great.
With that.
Okay. Anything else on... So, for your program in particular, it's a difficult position because you are in that high-risk category, and I suspect you will get new people based, even with unemployment relaxation and everything else, we're going to have new need develop. Is there something we can or should do to put something in place to give you somebody else who can help, who can meet face-to-face with potential clients and avoid exposing you any more than necessary?
No, I spent some time yesterday putting together some protocols for my department. I'm going to be doing phone interviews with people, filling out the application as it comes. They will mail any supporting documentation or email if that's available to me. So I'll be making an emergency determination with their stuff being due in the office in 10 days. That's what the state's doing. So I'm just going to be utilizing my phone and my email to help people, and I think that's safest for me and for them.
Okay.
Melanie, that email that... is that what's your a good email to reach you at? Is that I gave Jim one yesterday. Off the top of my head, I can't think
of it. I have to use my personal one because I can't access my work email from home. So it's the Serenity, but that's what you've been sending to me.
Okay.
Anyway. So as far as I'm situated right now, I'm able and, you know, to work from home. I certainly don't want to expose a lot of the elderly people I work with visits either. So it's a two-way street.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Trying to stay abreast. Been some rumors kicking around regarding the governor doing some like no evictions, no. Has anybody heard anything about that?
He did enact that.
Yeah. So we're up to I think now 5 executive orders. So they service providers can't initiate any new shutoffs during the crisis. Nobody can start eviction process during this. And this is as long as the state of emergency exists. So I can send you, somebody posted it on Facebook. Tim Lang's got it posted as well. Yeah. So the text of the emergency orders he put out today. So basically it protects people. They're not going to... Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Jim. The danger with that is that it's the same as the previous winter protection through PS&H, is that people believe they don't have to pay their mortgage or their utility bills, but the minute we get to the 1st of March, they shut everybody off. So it will be a similar... So they may not start removal process, but that doesn't mean it, you know, that you're not going to have to pay the bill as soon as the crisis is lifted.
Yeah, they haven't waived the responsibility.
I'm sorry, Jim?
So they haven't waived the responsibility. You still owe it. They just can't kick you out if you haven't paid it until the crisis is over.
Yes.
And then they're going to send you a bill for 3 months of electricity or 3 months of rent or whatever, if they haven't kept up with it. So
frequently in my department, during those types of mandates, what we see as a crisis comes at the tail end of it because they aren't able to manage the consequences of that. So there'll be a lot of people coming in saying, I haven't paid my rent in 3 months.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll keep a pulse in, on that.
Okay.
Okay, are we ready to move on then?
Yes. Yep.
Okay,
absolutely.
Talk about protective equipment for workers. This was like masks, gloves, sanitary wipes, anything for fire or police, anything
so,
over and above what you've got, what you're
so
needing.
As it stands now, we have enough stock to survive for the foreseeable future. We are limiting the way we do business to some degree. Daytimes, for example, the only people that respond to medical emergency calls that this could arise are the duty crew. So we're not allowing any of the volunteers to come back in for calls other than the duty crew. With that being said, that if the crew gets there and finds they need additional personnel, the crews are required to put out an additional tone and request personnel based on what they have in front of them. We've limited the PD's responses to our medical emergency calls as well, because that, quite honestly, is where if we get into a exposure issue, it's going to be at that medical emergency. But 911 has taken on some different call-taking responsibilities, where now they're asking more specific questions towards the COVID-19. So we have a better idea of what we're walking into when we get there. So as far as the fire department's personal protective clothing, we're good. We do have a very limited amount of cleaning supplies and that type of stuff. So, and toilet paper. And so we're using that, you know, as needed. And so suppliers are telling us that we're still 4 to 6 weeks out on some certain things. But right now we're good. The other thing, we've limited the exposure into the fire station by now doing online burn permits. Well, not online burn permits, but doing burn permits where we email the person the permit. So they call in, we get their email address, and then we ship them their permit. I've suspended all permits and requirements for mechanical permitting until this is over. So we're not doing any permitting for mechanical installations. We'll catch up at the tail end of it. The only other thing that's kind of hanging in the air, and since the governor has changed the requirement for the amount of people in a gathering now to 10 from 50 originally, I had not canceled, excuse me, I had not canceled as of yet the rabies clinic for Saturday the 28th or Sunday the 29th, that last weekend of the month. And that was up for discussion for today. I was kind of holding off. I did talk to Mona last evening and said right now we're going to keep it, but it's also hinging on Julie, because Julie was planning on doing registrations at the same time. So that may change what we do. And I may end up canceling, because they don't usually get a lot of people, and it's not all 10 or 20 at once.
We want them to be rabies, the dogs to have their shots.
Correct.
I'll be open.
Another crisis.
Can you do like a point by appointment, so you know like a block of people at this time and that time?
Well, that's the issue. I can have that conversation with with Mona, that because we're doing it on the apparatus floor, so it's a little easier to decontaminate if we had to. So no access is being allowed into the admin side of the fire station. And so I'm okay with continuing that just for that reason. It's a health issue that these dogs and pets need to be vaccinated. But come up with a plan to limit the exposure and limit the amount of people that are in the building at one time. I can definitely have that conversation with Mona.
Yeah, so you may just have to do a sign up.
Correct.
You know, with a couple of people per hour.
And it's only an hour.
Oh.
It's from 1 to 2.
Oh, so 15-minute blocks. And
correct. It's not a huge amount of time. I don't even think they need 15 minutes to do a vaccination.
Well, I'm saying, you do it in blocks of 15, you know, three people at a time or something,
yep.
So you don't have
yep.
too many people stacked up waiting.
You know, with the thing that if you're sick, don't come. You know, if you have a fever, if you have, you know, a cough, if you have flu-like symptoms, don't come. You know, I think that in itself has been well publicized, that if you're yep. sick, don't leave your house, you know, until those symptoms subside. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm okay with continuing the rabies clinic. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
And as far as with us, as far as protective gear, you know, we have a decent amount for what we have. It just kind of works out that the same protective gear that we bought for the opioid epidemic is the same stuff that works for coronavirus. So we have the right masks. We have lots of gloves anyway. You know, in fact, Paul and I put our numbers together to see what we have between us. So I think for now we're in pretty good shape. We've made similar changes to fire department. We're not doing fingerprinting anymore. People need that for employment. We're basically trying to avoid having people come in at all. Cal is now dealing with people through the window. That small gate is staying locked. So again, we're restricting access. I've told my guys, if we have to have someone come in, as much as we can,
yeah.
If we have to have someone come in, such as a victim that needs to be interviewed as opposed to a phone call, we're going to use the booking room because, again, that's the easiest to disinfect and less chance of meeting with other people. So.
And technically, you could access that from going outside.
You don't go through the building to get to it. You go from the outside back door. So yep. we're limiting access. My guys will be handling what they can by phone. Some calls we can do that. Not shaking hands, keeping our distance, that kind of thing. Like Paul said, with the medical calls, like there was one on Sunday when I was working and I just sat outside and I knew if they needed me, they would call me in. And if it was a case where I needed to mask or, you know, glove up, they would tell me that before I came in. So we're trying to do that. You know, so we're still available to them, but they kind of let us know what we need to do going into those situations. So, but for right now, and again, same with Paul, we're low on, you know, some of the disinfectant stuff and some of the hand cleaner. I've got it on order. It's due the first week of April, whether it comes or not. It's already been moved once, so I don't know. But, you know, we're making do.
So I think, just thinking about it, you know, I think Julie, you know, the town clerk, tax collector needs some gloves for handling stuff they're getting. Clearly, you guys need it out there.
Yeah. We don't have stockpiles of anything.
Yeah.
So, where that goes, I don't know. I'll get into the whole spiel here in a little bit. But.
Okay.
So, well, if you want to touch on that, some of the stuff that you guys might be dealing with, just regular leather work gloves.
Well, that's
where you don't need necessarily, you know,
nitrile
gloves. Counting money, I would need
the correct. We can, you know, we've got about 5,000 pairs of gloves in our stockpile. We gave some to Peggy, I think, today.
Well,
we can certainly do that.
In my mind, and you can answer this probably better, or both of you better than anybody else. All right, so I'm counting money. I count the money. I go wash my hands. Mm-hmm. So, the putting the gloves on, counting a bunch of money, or dealing with bags and tags or touching people's trash and everything else, I got the rubber gloves on, now I've touched the cash register, I've touched this, I've touched that. At the end of the day, it's just easier to wash my hands.
Well, so here's the thing. So the virus itself, COVID-19, is a very fragile virus.
Correct.
Regular soap and water will kill it. On any hard surface, it'll last about 48 hours to 3 days.
They think.
Worst case, they think. It's not an airborne virus. There has been some discussion about airborne, but there's been no proof of that. So it's still what we consider a droplet virus. So the only way it can be, you know, passed along is if somebody coughs in your face or coughs in their hand and then shakes your hand.
Sneezes.
Right, sneezes. But if you immediately wash your hands and you don't put your hands near your mouth, in your nose, you know, on your face, then you're perfectly, you're going to probably be okay. You just have to get into a better habit of making sure you wash your hands, you're wiping down phones, you're wiping keyboards on computers, those types of things. It's normal, quite honestly, normal hygiene we should be doing every single day.
Money's dirty anyways. It's always been dirty.
Correct.
Regardless.
Yeah, but, yeah.
So I don't wash my hands any more now than I did prior.
So I hope that means you already washed them a lot before.
I trained myself.
You should say I don't wash them any less than I did
right.
before.
I trained myself when I took this job, and now my hands do not go around my face.
That's the biggest thing.
I've learned.
So you avoid.
When I get home, I really wash my hands, and then I'm like, all over my face because I didn't do it all day. You know, rubbing my eyes, and it's because.
So I guess if your
some gloves
if your staff
would
well I would have to use it this way. If you're using good hygiene, then you're going to be okay.
Right.
But if you have the fear, okay, then and you want that extra protection just from a I hate to use this phrase, but a feel good kind of mentality, and we can supply you gloves for that.
I will talk to the help, but I'm not in a position where I'm going to use up stuff that I don't need to.
Make sure the help doesn't touch your face with the gloves on.
Right.
Right. That, that's,
I'm not coming from where I'm scared. Dealing with the people down there and the amount of people down there, either you're going to say, I'm not doing this job anymore, or you're going to really do the job. You know, it's...
So you got to remember, too, that even with gloves, after you have... you know, contact with any type of things like that, you still need to wash your hands.
Right.
So, and for anybody that needs to be trained.
I would say, would it be nice to have a box kicking around down there? I bet I have enough miscellaneous to where I can make a box. So, but at some point I might call and say, look, yeah, I need something.
Right.
The hand sanitizer is the biggest issue.
Hand sanitizer is a big issue everywhere.
Correct.
Well, remember, a bar of soap will take care of the same. Will deal with do
better.
The same thing.
Actually, better.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
it's the physical that. Breakdown that really kills it. Not
correct.
Yeah.
So hold on, just before we, because you got a bunch of stuff. Can you think of anything else within the office? And I mean, Peg's got some gloves. Anybody else need anything?
Gloves, wise.
Anything.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Sanitary wipes.
I would prefer it if we're not flushing anything besides toilet paper in the toilet. Because I think that's going to cause some major damage.
Yeah,
well,
nothing should go with it. Yeah.
Those
gloves can
down.
Go right in the trash. Yep. You know, as long as you're not rifling through the trash after something.
I mean, I think that we've got plenty of supplies, toilet paper, cleaning supplies here. We've been keeping up on the ordering, or Terry has.
Okay.
So.
From the library?
Yes. Hi, Marcia.
Hi. So, the library is closed to the public, but the staff is still working. And some are working from home so that there aren't too many people in the building at one time. We're wiping down material that's in the book return with wipes, and we're probably going to run out of those. And we use gloves when we're handling the material, but we're answering the phone and emails. But I think we'll run out of wipes first.
Yeah, and we're the wipes. I'm not sure what you're using for wipes, Marcia, but they're in really, really short supply. We have the same things that we use on our, like our heart equipment, like our cot, the metal framing of our cot, the cardiac monitor, things like that that we use to wipe down. And those, we're being very cautious on the wipes because we're down to like three of the pull containers where you pull the wipe out. So those are in short supply right now.
Right. Yeah. So we're just using those for the returned materials, but cleaning and disinfecting without using the wipes on other things.
Good.
But
okay.
And then I think we have enough gloves for now.
Okay.
I want to add that, as department heads, our level of information may be different, but people's level of anxiety, meaning our employees, is also different based on their own personal circumstances. So even though we make a decision for a department whether or not certain materials are necessary, we still need our employees to know that if they feel like they want to be taking extra precautions, such as gloves, that we provide that to them and that they can feel secure in making their own decision to protect their families.
That is correct, Melanie. All of our employees are most concerned about being spreaders to family members who are most susceptible to a severe case.
Yeah, and here again, as Paul has said, probably the easiest and most effective way to decontaminate is a bar of soap and some water. 20 minutes scrubbing your hands.
20 seconds.
20 seconds. 20, 20 minutes.
20 minutes, you'll be calling him.
That'll take into the day.
Okay, so moving on then, next item that we need to cover is transfer station. You're looking at this setting up a procedure?
Let me get through this first and then we'll discuss that procedure. No matter what you do, especially now that we're separating more stuff out, you get your glass, you get your cans, aluminum cans, this, that, you got single stream, there's not a lot of room in that transfer station. My personal feeling is that I take the empty open top 30-yard container and I push it over by the demo dumpster. And the people drive in, they put their recyclables in that open container, they drive up, they get rid of their household trash, and they drive out. Because people are slow at getting their trash separated. Because this is just in its beginnings. So they're all in one bucket or in two buckets and they're digging through. And I have plans in place, but don't quite have the room yet to have tables that are set up, they can dump it, blah, blah. I don't think they should be in that building. I don't think the ability to have the recyclables go into that 30-yard container, there's a rail there. I had to do it at Christmas time because the MSW was full. You don't have to get rid of your TVs right now. You don't have to get rid of your used oil. It's not going to go bad at the house. The bears aren't going to be in it. This is my personal, I fought myself about this a bit. I can't keep the people away from each other inside of that building. And there could be 30 of them in there at one time. I've seen it. I've seen it where there's only one of them in there. But this way I can control it. You stay in your vehicle, you've got your trash, you've gone through, it's your turn. Bing, bing, bing. Glass is really the only issue that I have right now. And I'll figure that out. I'll have a spot where they put it and then I can go get it after, type thing.
Just a suggestion, you don't have to do it, but what are you getting a week in recyclables? A couple of ton? Two to three ton. Why can you just open up no recycling any recyclables, if you can see they're recyclable, just throw them in the dumpster. If you don't want to hold on to them for now.
So, it's also, there's another part of me that says, with all this going on, the people need some type of normalcy. So do I keep the whole thing running the way it is while I'm being told by our president and our governor and by you all 10 people, and if that number becomes less, which I bet it does, so if I allow them to still recycle, because I look it on their faces, the people that walk in there, and a lot of them, you can see the satisfaction of they're down there, and they're, I don't want to take it all away from them. Mm-hmm. So it gives them the two options. Mm-hmm. They can still recycle, and there's no swap and shop, because that's...
Right. That's a good call.
And so I can rope it off, tape it off, and put signage up and everything else. They don't see it anyways for anything else. Mm-hmm. This is not going to work. Stay out of the single stream building. I'm sorry. Yeah. Per order of you guys... The single stream building is closed. You know, and if somebody brings a TV or something, then I'll certainly... And the other thing I think should happen is, and people might not financially be able to deal with it, but buy some bulk here. Don't just buy the 3 tags. Buy 30 tags. Or buy... And then the last thing, and we mumbled about it a little bit over there, with the kids being home, there's going to be more trash. Mm-hmm. The people are going to have to go to the transfer station. I feel that we should open not this Thursday, but next Thursday prior to the actual April 2nd. And potentially, and then I'll let you say what you were, I kind of caught what you were saying, but potentially maybe opening it another day too to keep the numbers of the people that are in there all at one time down. It gives them more days to go through the transfer station. And I kind of got what your point, where you were headed with that. But.
So when Nate and I talked about this, what that does is, yes, you're right, it could possibly keep your number count down per day, but now you're just spreading that possible contaminant. Now you're adding a whole nother day that your staff is going to be there. And another whole 8 or 9 whatever hours that there is the possibility of an exposure. So
this is a, which way do you go with it? You got 100 people or you got 10 people, and I get your point.
It's really going to depend on that social distancing, depending, I think, you know, your plan is good about trying to, you know, eliminate people from going inside the building. You know, I know you and I talked about setting up a one-in, right, one-out kind of routine.
They're going to get all jammed up around that.
Yeah, and quite honestly, it's going to take more staff time to corral them. We're doing the, you know, keeping people in their vehicles until it's their turn, mm-hmm, to get up to the recycling, dump the recycling, and then go up, because the dump portion or the trash portion is really not a big deal. People get out of their car, they throw their trash in the compactor, right, and they drive away. The most interaction is in that main complex where you're dealing with that
and
other
building.
That's
where we put the kibosh on it.
Yeah. The only thing I would say is that this may fall under the emergency declaration, that if you're going to have more staff time dealing at the other end of this, keep track of that staff time,
right,
that are going to have to deal with what's put into that recycling dump, because they're going to have to separate it.
Are we going to bother?
Is that what you're talking about?
No, it's basically that container sitting there is a backup to single stream.
Okay, I get you.
You're going to separate glass or not?
I'm going to try to still separate the glass. I haven't figured out how.
Suspend the cardboard, suspend the cans.
Yep,
but have that just put into the one dumpster.
Correct, and then household still goes up top.
And then we'll try to minimize the number of people bringing in.
Right, they'll
the demolition and bringing in,
right,
because that'll clog that up if people are trying to,
right,
dump their trailers of.
Correct. So, and I was hoping if everybody agreed on this, that I could borrow some cones from you, because I don't have enough. I don't want to spend the money if I don't have to.
We got a whole trailer for the cones.
Okay, that way I can.
And we got barricades. We got all that stuff in that trailer that is used for emergency management.
And what are you using your sign for right now? Your big sign.
We can bring that up there. You're very limited on what you can put on it, as far as a message, because you only
the little signs don't cut it. I'm wondering if something big and flashing just saying.
It really depends on what you want to do. I would suggest processes have changed. See an attendant. Something of that.
Stay in your car. That simple.
Yeah.
So
that we can certainly do that. That's not a problem.
So I think it's a great idea. I think that's a great way to contain it. But it's going to take, I think, more people than just the two of you.
So this is where I was going to be headed next also. How do I deal with this? In a few weeks, once everything is kind of going, then it won't be so bad.
But first couple of weeks is going to...
To educate people and say, please come through here.
So do we... I'm thinking, do we have anybody from, say, the rec programs, not to be handling trash, but just to help directing traffic? Do we have anybody that's not busy right now with rec that we could try to...
I guess I could help, but I'm not sure, because I have...
Well, and the other thing, and this is the other thing that worries me, because this what we're talking about, I was thinking about this last night. The transfer station deals with the majority of the public at one time. We get the highest volume of anybody in the town, in theory, at one time. Now I'm bringing in other people that have kids or older family, and somebody sneezes.
Putting up that option for more exposure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sneeze.
It's a balance between.
I think it's more of a. And I think I know you can do this. That command presence at the transfer station, and dealing with the public and keeping them in line and informed of why we're doing this process.
That's kind of why I was saying just trash only. You could do trash. You want to do recycling? Do recycling.
We'll see. So
make it voluntary. This just again a suggestion. Make it voluntary. If you want to put your recycling into that dumpster, go ahead. Or you can throw it in up here. I'm not going to charge you for it.
So the problem will end up being is if we don't separate out the recyclables, I'm going to have that dumpster over there anyways putting household in it.
Because we're going to run out of room.
If you end up having to throw it in, then you do.
So
yeah.
So back to your point. What if we just make it, what I would call sailor-proof? You use cones, you use barricades, single lane, there's nowhere to go except to the dumpster. We could potentially just suspend tags and bags.
Well, so I was going to mention this.
So that we don't even have to deal with people going into the office.
So, on